What's up? It's your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, your friend, but I can't be your son, it's your kinfolk, William Jewell, giving you my detail as I articulate. This is articulating, rap. How y'all doing? If you haven't already, make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. Turn all the notifications on so you get all the new content and all new videos when I release them. I just came here to articulate and give you my detailed perspective, close up, far away, microscopic and telescopic lens through hip hop. Right? And it's exciting, right? It's an exciting day because, you know, one of the big three dropped, right? And I'm talking about the fall off, right? I'm talking about real hip hop is back. I'm talking about the elites, right? Purity. Because the thing about like hip hop purity, it's a lost art. It's a lost art. And when we think about the big three and people say, oh, there's been no other big artists since then, but you got NBA Youngboy. You got Playboi Carti. I mean, you see what Travis Scott is doing. Even though JID is on his way up, even though Dolce, Ravon, even though they're on their way up, right? Cardi B, right? Even though Meg, right? We still got youngins coming up, but when we talk about the true essence of hip-hop, right? It's none like those big three. It's none that truly move the needle, truly set the trends, truly get everybody attention. Like when the fall off was coming, it was an event. That's how strong this was anticipated, right? That's how much of a fan base that J. Cole has. That's how much widespread the people that love him, like him, or hate him. But one thing you will do is give him your ear. Whether you don't like it, right, you're going to give him your ear. Whether you think it's too boom bap, too hip-hop, you're going to give him your ear. And I definitely wanted to give him my ear. So I'll guess I'll say this is my review. A lot of people with ties to the industry haven't been wanting to say like this is the full review, right? They want to spend more time and be more fair when they, you know, break it down and really talk about the album. And I've noticed that a lot of people have been breaking it down song for song. Even with the double disc, a lot of people have been breaking it down song for song. And before I go into the breakdown, before I go into, my analysis on this album, I just want to talk about the trunk tour, right? How he patched up the engine of his old Honda Civic, and he's going to be driving around selling CDs out the trunk, right? That's a genius idea, and that too is the essence of hip-hop. And to be honest, like, I am a fan of Kendrick. I am a fan of Kendrick, and I probably would say I would lean towards him the most of those big threes. But when we talk about like what Glasses Malone was saying about how Cole isn't hip-hop, how we don't understand the lingo of South Carolina or Fayetteville, like we don't know none of that stuff because of Cole, you know, when he was saying it's urban street culture. And it's like everybody got their perspective, everybody got their opinion, and to be honest, like, you just gotta appreciate the music. You got to appreciate the art. You got to appreciate the effort. You got to appreciate the ideas, the risk taking involved to even step out there and release a body of work to the masses, whether it succeeds, whether it fails. So I just want to kind of like touch on that as far as Cole is hip hop, right? There's no denying that. Like, regardless of, you know, his mother being a white woman, regardless of him being from South Carolina and getting on and getting his start in New York, which he pretty much calls himself an honorary doctorate, right, of Queens. So he's been adopted by New York City. But I feel like this album was a homage, him paying homage to his roots. This album was him paying homage to the South as well. And when we talk about the juxtaposition, right, we talk about Birthday Blizzard and how he was on the P. Diddy beats and New York East Coast type of beats. And then he goes to the Fall Off and he gives us that Southern feel, that Southern vibe. And he blends it in with, you know, the boom bap and, you know, some of his East Coast influence. Because when you're in South Carolina or Carolina, I don't know if Fayetteville is South Carolina or North Carolina, so forgive me. But when you're in the Carolinas, you're like East Coast, but you're in the South. So you get the music from the South, and then you also get the music from the East Coast because of your radius, because of where you're located. You get a little bit of everything. And this album showed me that he was definitely from the area where he got a little bit of everything. But he definitely took a deep dive into the culture of Fayetteville, Fayetteville, and just talked about, you know, what it meant to be from there. And in the 2-6 video, like, showcased Fayetteville like I never seen it before, and just kind of really humanized and just gave us some insight on, like, Fayetteville. And when we think about the South and we think about a small city in the South, when I think about me going to Waco, Texas, like, to me, that's kind of what Fayetteville represents, like a small city in the South, not a big hub necessarily, but it's somewhere where, you know, people are people, where you got street stuff, where you got the country, where you got a little bit of everything blended in with your childhood, but you just don't have that big city experience that people from the bigger metro areas come from. But you kind of get a little bit of everything, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes y'all might be behind on, like, how y'all dress a little bit, because, you know, those fashion forward trends are, you know, they're usually done in the bigger city. So, like, I remember going to college, like, damn, I didn't know, like, we wasn't doing baggy shit no more. Like, I was in Waco, Texas, I didn't know we wasn't doing baggy shit no more. And I got to Sam Houston and I was like, damn, got to be a little bit fitted. But that's when Kanye and Wayne, they was wearing their skinny jeans, wearing the tight clothes, fitted clothes, the polos. You know what I'm saying? Young droves, like shit like that. That's that era. And I was behind a little bit. And it took me maybe a couple years to actually kind of catch up, because I didn't have the money like that. And I mean, and to say that is to say, like, I really resonated with this album. I really resonated with the story that he told, because first and foremost, we know this album is a story, right? He kind of outlined everything for us. Like, sometimes people just put shit out and they don't say nothing and let people decode it for themselves. But he wanted to be clear. He wanted to be concise on what he was actually trying to portray. And I think I understood the mission. I understood the assignment. Disc 29, a double disc album, right? And, you know, a quote from somebody, doing a double disc is ambitious, right? Especially in the time frame that we're in now, when a lot of music is microwaved and a lot of things are shortened because of the people's attention to detail, or just to retain their attention, is not, you know, how it used to be. And I think, like, a double disc, as I spoke about it before, if you understood what I said about how he needed to come with this double disc before, like, I think he met the mark. I think he hit the mark, right? Because I got to be honest, I'm not even like a crazy big Cole fan like that, but I'm a fan of elite lyricism. I'm a fan of hip hop. I'm just a fan of this pure nature and essence. I feel like he hit the mark with the double disc. The double disc did what the double disc was supposed to do. Yes, there could be some songs that he could add or take away and make it even more concise and make it even more perfect. But sometimes with the double disc, and even when I think about the Kendrick Mr. Morale, because I compared that to Mr. Morale and how this double disc has to stand next to Mr. Morale and be just as good, right? It doesn't have to be great. The double disc, it doesn't have to be great, but the double disc has to have substance. It has to, you know, be two different albums in one. And I think Cole made two different albums in one. And I want to start with this 29, right? I want to start with the 29 intro, right? The folk music, the sample. You know, I couldn't give you the name of the guy, but it just gave you that down south feel, that down south vibe, and just that, you know, being surrounded by trees, the piney woods, right? As J. Cole mentioned in his lyrics. And so that this 29 intro kind of set the tone, set the mood. He says this 29 is supposed to be about when he came back to Fayetteville in 29, when he came back home and his experience. And then we start with 2-6. 2-6 niggas wild, bitch. 2-6 niggas wild, bitch. Right? And I think he's just pretty much illustrating Fayetteville. Like the mindset, the small town mindset of people in those small cities. But even in the smaller cities, they're from the inner city of the small city, they're from the streets, they're from that type of culture. And that's one thing about Waco, Texas, that's one thing about being in a smaller city that I can relate to, is you don't think bigger than where you're at. And what that makes you do, it makes you become small-minded. And when you become small-minded, you become ignorant to the world, to the nation, just to everything that's going around you, and you become centered in where you're at because you can't think beyond it, because your experiences haven't brought you beyond that. So 2-6, when he's saying 2-6 niggas wild, bitch, I feel like that's the summary of the song, right? This is Fayetteville. Like, niggas ain't got no sense down here. Motherfuckers ignorant. And this where I'm from, this the place that raised me. I'm coming back at 29. I'm coming back into the small-minded, you know, area. And I love the story that he told on Safety, right? That was the first story that we got from the album, and talked about how his friend talked, gave him a call, let him know he changed his number, let him know, like, hey, he did a bid, but he back, and I don't want to ask you for nothing. It's just kind of like you came back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come back home, people hit you up when you coming back. I'm letting you know what's going on, what's been going on since you've been gone. Right? Like, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Like, he's telling the story. Like, he's telling you about going to Carolina. Like, that intro is like you're riding, you know what I'm saying, and you can see out your window. Right. And you can see the piney woods, the trees going into South Carolina when you hear that folk song. And then when you get out and get into Fayetteville, that's when you hear 2-6 niggas wild. And then, you know what I'm saying? That's when your friends call you, you call your friends. These are just the conversations that you had, letting you know, hey, Quay, somebody that end up being gay that we was cool with, right, died, you know, seems like HIV, right, based on an advanced, you know what I'm saying, illness. So, like, telling the story, hey, bro, you know what I'm saying, welcome back, want you to come back, here's what happened, whoop-de-woo, old girl still look good. You know, we got friends that passed away. It's messed up. That's just the conversations that y'all had. So, like, when I think about the album, I think about that, right? And then Run a Train. You know, fuck the world. Let's run a train. It's like, hey, it's just a more continuation of that story. Run a Train. That's probably just like the hook. I like Future on the hook, but I didn't love it because it just kind of like the tempo of the hook. Then you go to J. Cole versus, I feel like that didn't mesh well to me. I know some people like it, but for me, that was the one that kind of caught me off guard. I think that hook could have been a little bit better. I think it could have meshed a little bit well, but like the hook and the verses were like pretty much polar opposites of each other, and just the production on that song, like with everything that was going on, it kind of caught me off guard. But I mean, it's pretty much a continuation of him coming back home. But Poor Thing, right? Poor Thing, you know what I'm saying? Young Pup playing War Games, right? And he's basically talking about a rapper that pretty much tried to diss him, try to say some shit about him, right? So it's like, hey, I'm coming back home. This nigga was talking shit, like, you know what I'm saying? I want to see that nigga. If we can fight, we can fight. Just no guns. And if I take a L, I'll be okay with that. But I got to see you off the strength. You know what I'm saying? You come back home, you might want to settle some differences. So this is some shit like, this is like that anxiety of coming back home. When you coming back home in a small town, you go to the club, you go somewhere like that might be a popping spot. You know, everybody in the town that's around your age most likely gonna be there. So if you go somewhere, people know you in town, no buddy gonna be there, like you gonna have a chip on your shoulder. So it just speaks to that. And then we go to Legacy. Legacy to me is like, you know, he's talking about like a woman, you know what I'm saying? He's talking about, like, he wanting a double back for the thing that he lost. I don't even think this is a letter to his wife. I think this is him going back to his childhood home, going back home, texting old girl, the one that got away, quote unquote. Because I did a little research. He met his wife in college. I don't know if his wife is from Fayetteville, but it sounds like, hey, I went back home. I'm trying to meet up with somebody like I feel like I could have had. I've been texting her the whole time I've been gone. Now I'm back. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully I can link up with her. Hopefully I can see her. Like, but I need to not worry about her. I need to not be trying to focus on the one that got away and focus on what God has brought to me now. Right. And that's what he's saying based on that lyrics. But I mean, damn, it's just you can relate to this story because I feel like this story is very similar. Bunch Road Blues, like it just talking about Bunch Road, maybe a popular road in the area, right? It's just a continuation of the story, right? And then once we get to Who the Fuck Is You, right? Once we get to Who the Fuck Is You, it's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Who is you? Like, it's the continuation of the story of, and I feel like Who the Fuck Is You, the beat switch, like everything that changed in Who the Fuck Is You, the lyrics, the energy, that was a snippet that was played off this two, track two, the lyrics, the energy on Who the Fuck Is You, like, And Bunch Road Blues, I feel like I didn't talk enough about that, but we talk about Tim's, we talk about Future, the more melodic hook. I think, you know what I'm saying, the verses and the hooks and the singing, that meshed well with each other, right? So when we talk about Run a Train compared to Bunch Road Blues, I feel like Bunch Road Blues was something that just sounded, you know, a lot better, right? A lot more cohesive, like just from a production and rapping and hook standpoint. Drum and bass, probably one of my favorite ones. And the let out, Bombs in the Ville, Hit the Gas, Lonely at the Top. Right, just to go through pretty much the whole first part of the album, you know, I feel like he told that story, the let out. It was like, hey, I'm going back home. I'm trying to catch up with my partners. And then I'm also trying to catch up with this chick. Then we going to hang out. We going to chill. Right? Then, you know what I'm saying? We going to go to the club. Right? The club. You know, I don't even know if that was a real story, but he realized that some people was plotting on him, and then he was like, damn, why am I even out here without security? So it was like he was in a rush to get back to the car. Old girl on his way is telling him she want him. He dealing with the anxiety of somebody trying to get him, like the let out. Like, you know, will you make it through the let out? Like, we know when the let out, when the club lets out, there's always some shit going on in the parking lot. Right, and think about it. Some people put some mask on their face, but the thing is, when you in a small city, you ain't got to put no mask on your face because everybody going to know who that was, especially if you from a small city. Right, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just told that story of coming back home, trying to link up with everybody, you know, going to the club, trying to link up with everybody, trying to rekindle some old relationships. Basically, you know, confronting any issues with anybody he's had, like, and then at the end of the day, the let out, like the club, like I said, you got anxiety, you might see somebody that you know got issue with in a club because y'all in a small city, and you like, damn, I hope I make it out here, right? Or you talking to the chick like, the chick might got some other dudes that wanna, you know what I'm saying, man, you talking to her, she all up on you. They might want, you know what I'm saying, wanna see you about that. So I just feel like that was a great story to tell. Just about the blues of coming home, right? Just about the situations that you find yourself in when you come home, hang out with your friends. You might wanna see some old things, you know what I'm saying? You might wanna go to the club. You might want to confront some people that had some things to say about you on the internet that you wasn't able to tap in because you was gone. And then just basically trying to survive all that with your new stardom and with your new fame so you can get back to where you've been at to continue to rise and shine above it all. So that's why I like disc one the best, because I feel like disc one was the more clearer and concise storytelling. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it had as many stories as this too, but the storytelling, the conceptual part piece of it, I think disc one portrayed that a lot better. Right, damn. I'm going to keep going. Fuck it. I'm going to keep talking. Right, disc 39, right? He started out with the melodies. Started out singing, so disc 39 is basically disc two. And, like, to me, like, I liked it. Like, at first I was like, whoa, like, it take a minute, but after the first couple spins and you hear what he's saying, then he get to rapping, like, you really get that intro, right? That disc 39, like, he's older now, right? And he's older now just realizing, like, damn, I'm human. The fall off is inevitable. Pretty much just seeing his life full circle, because now he has a wife. Now he has kids. And now just pretty much confronting life. Confronting your own like your own, you know, your life and your death, right? You get closer to that when you get to that age because the people around you get older. So not just the fall off, you know what I'm saying, musically, but just the fall off, the deterioration in your health. That's inevitable. I think that's kind of why he relayed and the fall off is inevitable from beginning to being in a casket. Yeah, you confront your own mortality, right, when you get into those late 30s because the people around you are getting older. So you confront your own mortality. And then the Villest, right, great rapping, just pretty much just giving his insight on how he sees his city now. Like, he has even more fame. He has even more fortune. They don't got these in Fayetteville. I'm getting pulled over by FPD because I'm in a Ferrari now. Right? You know what I'm saying? Pretty much just showing that, like, hey, it's a little bit different. Right? It's that full circle moment. I'm at where I need to be at. And then Old Dog, like, Old Dog, I think Old Dog, Life Sentence, and Only You, like, Old Dog, like, we still got that dog in us. We still have that manly, that masculine essence. And in the same way, when we talk about Life Sentence and we talk about Only You, I think he confronts his desire, right? His sexual desires for other women. He speaks on, because they're all kind of like telling a similar story, right? He confronts those desires. He's had fame and all these things are pulling at him. And he felt like, hey, I could have did more damage, but I didn't do it. So that makes me feel better, right? And it's crazy because it's like you still did wrong. But like man brain is thinking, I didn't dog you out like I could have. But you know what I'm saying? I feel good about not just going all the way ham. Like just when we talk about that lustful desire, and I feel like with the therapy that Kendrick talked about on Mr. Morale, I don't know if J. Cole saw therapy for it, but it seems like he came to grips and came to his own conclusion. You know, when we talk about Life Sentence and when we talk about Only You. So Old Dog is just kind of like looking back. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's just looking back at how far he's come from the way he treats his woman. Then Life Sentence is just like, hey, I'm with her completely, fully, and wholly. And it's Only You. Like, I feel like he gets that off, right? Just he come home now. He not worried about going out. He not worried about his old flings. He not worried about hanging out with the homies, right? He's more centered around family now. And I believe that's what he's conveying on those couple, three songs, like having the urge, having the pressure or wanting to do that, but understanding where he's at right now in life, knowing that those things are not necessary, knowing that those things are only going to cause mayhem between his wife and issues with the family. And Man Up Above, right? Just understanding like where his help comes from, just understanding like how he's been able to persevere, how he's been able to climb to the top of in this industry. Like, I think 39 is more of a reflection of 29, but where he's at now, just having the knowledge and wisdom on how to put things in their own space and knowing how to compartmentalize when coming home, and knowing like coming home is more so embracing family, embracing God from bringing you so far away than all the other bullshit and foolishness. So I'm sorry, like I'm not like, so listen, I'm sorry I'm not delving deep into the track, but it's a story, so I want to review it as it's a story, right? And Love Her Again, he's talking about hip-hop. like man up above, like looking back where so far he's come from. Love her again, and now he's embracing family. He's embracing the spirituality. He's embracing how far he's come from this 29. Now he's having that self-reflection when it comes to hip-hop. You know, not liking hip-hop as much that he got older. Just really kind of like examining his love for hip-hop. Right? He tells a story about her moving to Atlanta and how the East Coast felt about the South music. And he ends it with how she told him she was the best. He was the best she ever had. And I think pun intended, but she also told that to his other two friends. So really just coming to grips with his relationship with hip hop. And just expressing the desire to truly fall back in love with the writing, because he's 41 now. Right at 39, you got to think that was 2024. That was the battle, right? That was the time he went through the battle at 39. 7-minute drill, the Dreamville Fest, the apology, all those things. And he's addressing that in this song. It made him not love hip hop, how people looked at him, how people viewed him, right? Or even just feeling like he had to respond when he didn't want to respond, like to somebody that really loves hip hop, that could, you know what I'm saying, rattle your earth, could shake your ground. And that's why after Love Her Again, he goes to What If. And I think it's his way of talking about the beef, but not necessarily speaking on Kendrick and on Drake. And to be honest, I liked it. I liked this song. Like, some people say it wasn't executed right. I like the song, right? Love Her Again, I like the song. Like, I get it, Life Sentence, right? The DMX, like, some of the love songs, I get it. Like, it wasn't, to me, like, the curation or the order of which he put them, I might have not put them where I put them, right? Or you could have took one, kept one, right? But, you know, I still like What If, because I think that's his way of, like, responding to the beef without, like, actually speaking on Kendrick and Drake and just saying, like, his apology, you know, just understanding, like, the big apology, the Tupac apology, just, like, the misunderstanding. Like, if people actually talk to each other, right, they can get past their misunderstandings. Like, and even if y'all agree to disagree, at least there will be some understanding from that standpoint and that perspective. So I feel like this was his way of addressing the beef. And quick stop. It's just one of those things where he had to be reminded. He had to be reminded of his impact. And Joe Budden, like the way they did the review, they was like, I don't want to hear him rapping on this flow. But if you understand, he's giving you the illustration of him being at the gas stop, pumping the gas, what he got on, what he's wearing, what he's listening to, what gas he's pumping in the car. You know what I'm saying? Somebody trying to sell him weed. He trying to be low-key. And then somebody's, I know you. Oh, of course you know me, bro. I'm J. Cole. Like, yeah. And just like sometimes when people tell you, like, how well you're doing, when you just got your head down and you focus and you're not trying to, you don't really think you need it. But when people actually tell you and show you their appreciation for you, It's a lot deeper. It's a lot deeper. And it's like God is talking to you through that person, letting you know, like, you're important. And I think that's the conversation that he was basically trying to have. But instead of like actually understanding the conversation or the God spiritual piece of it, it's like people picking apart the storytelling and they want something climactic. They want a better story. And I get it, because this is art. So how you deliver the art does matter. How you package it does matter. But at the end of the day, if you can understand it, if it's easily understandable and digestible, right, it sometimes is more impactful because you don't have to deep dive in it. You get it at the first point. And then the whole world is the veil and ocean wages. Understanding the whole world is home. The whole world, like, that's the story. Just coming to that conclusion of, like, the veil raised me, right? But I've been everywhere doing music, overseas, all across America. Like, and I've impacted each pocket, each region. I've injected my music and my message into these people. And they've gotten a piece of me, a piece of Fayetteville from me within that messaging. So I feel like the whole world is a veil. I like that song, Ocean Way. I like it. So overall, when I think about the album, I like the album, right? I think it's a good album. I think it's a great album, actually. I think the more you listen to it, the better it gets. The more you listen to it, the stories become clear. And instead of trying to like pick it apart and try to judge it too hard, I think you get more like a relatability. I feel like it's easy to relate to, especially if you come from a small town. I feel like it's easy to relate to if you're a man, you got a wife, and you've dealt with lust and you've dealt with, you know, some type of change, financial change, and people wanting you more than they used to want you back in the day. I understand it if you've been a young man involved in certain things and you going back home and you just want to have fun. You want to talk to some of the old girls that you used to have back in the day. You want to hang out with some of your old friends back in the day. And then you realize, like, I can't be doing this shit. Like, you know, they old friends, they old girls for a reason. I'm here for a reason. Like, it's to impact the world. So as a grown man, you know, the family, the true support system that I have, my kids, like, that's what's the most important. You know what I'm saying? And what got me here, my love for music, my love for the craft, and my work ethic. Like, so I think this is a great cleanser. This is a great palate cleanser from the apology, from the beef. And I think, like, to me, this is wiping off that residue. This is wiping off the stain that the beef put on hip hop. Because this is a refresher. This is the album, right, for somebody that was involved in the beef, right? Because Kendrick gave you GNX. Drake gave us the album with Party Next Door. Cole, I feel like he reset hip-hop with this album. Now people can carry on. Now people can drop. Now people can do what they need to do in hip hop, and this beef won't linger. But I mean, we got to see what Iceman's going to do. We got to see what that's going to do. So, man, I hope I broke it down to y'all. When I get back next time, I might talk a little bit more. I gave y'all a full detailed think piece of this album. But, man, hey, I hope y'all appreciate it. I hope y'all view it. But it's your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, your friend, but I can't be your son. It's your kinfolk, William Jewell, giving you my detail as I articulate. This is articulating rap, rap, rap.